How accurate was he in terms of predictions?
He wasn't 100%, and I...
Well, no, but nobody is, though.
No, sure. I'd say he's probably more accurate than any of the known prophets that I know, Nostradamus, St. Malachi.
Really?
Casey, you know? I have a theory, too, why a prophet can't be 100% accurate. It's just my theory that I think the, nothing's... is going to happen for sure. We have certain events that are destined to happen.
True.
But it's changes. And so a prophet can see what the probability would show in the future, and that could always change.
Or what could be, not necessarily what will be.
Exactly. Well, one of his first prophecies was in March of 1846, he said, at that time, there was only 7 known planets in our solar system. Neptune and Pluto had not yet been discovered. And he, in his book in 1847, he said, there are actually 9 planets in our solar system. And he said, and by the way, Neptune was discovered about 6 months later,
mm-hmm.
and Pluto was discovered 84 years later.
Hmm.
He also said what the density of Neptune was and comes really close to that. And he also said, okay, Neptune, he didn't name it, of course. You know, obviously it was an undiscovered planet. But the planet Neptune, he said, has 6 moons around it. So here's a guy who says there's 2 undiscovered planets, which is true. He names the density of one pretty close, and he says there's 6 moons. Well, it turns out Neptune has 8 moons. So the question is, well, you know, he was close. But when you look at it closely, this is really interesting. Neptune actually has 6 small moons, which closely orbit the planet, and 2 larger moons at a much greater distance.
There's his 8.
Yeah, so maybe he was looking at, from his superior condition, looking at the close-up moons.
Were most of his predictions in science?
No, he is all over the place. That's what's incredible about him. Psychology, medicine, sociology, all kinds of different
okay.
areas. But the ones that I focused on are the ones in science.
Okay, but he did do world events, and now how far?
No, not specific world events, but more or less. I think psychology is one area, and medicine. You know, some of the predictions in medicine, which we can get to.
How far out did he go, John? How many years out?
I think there's still predictions that have not come true because he talks about weather control, that we will control our environment.
Interesting. All right, we'll talk about that too. So, what else did he talk about?
Well, I thought this was kind of interesting because he mentions that the atmosphere, he even goes into the atmosphere of Neptune, and he says, well, it has little oxygen and consists mostly of fluorine and nitrogen. Well, I pulled out my old astronomy book, and none of those were on Neptune. But then I got a more recent book, and it turns out that the 1989 Voyager 2 flyby of the planet Neptune picked up large frozen belts of nitrogen on the poles of Triton, one of the moons of Neptune,
right.
And also in the atmosphere. So they haven't actually found it maybe yet on Neptune, but they found it right in that system there. And I thought, now that's pretty incredible, you know? And so maybe it's possible. Oh, the other thing I like is Venus. Venus always fascinated me. Maybe you too, George, because it has that perpetual
cloud cover. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, I'm interviewing John Lear, who's got an interesting theory that he's talked about Venus being pretty inhabitable, and that we just aren't being told the truth about that. But
that would go with what Davis said too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually. Here's what's interesting. You know, it wasn't until 1978 when the Pioneer satellite, remember, which orbited Venus, used radar to penetrate the cloud cover, and produced a global radar map. And basically, Davis in 1847 described Venus. The surface of Venus, he says, there are very high mountains and ejected rocks that disturb the otherwise smoothness of its appearance. Some of these are several miles higher than any upon the Earth. And if you look at the global radar map of Venus, it describes it exactly, that it's, you know, less rugged than the Earth with very large mountains. And to me, that's you put them side by side, that's an incredible close description of the surface of Venus. So that wasn't until, 1978. He also says that our solar system is not stationary, but revolves around another point in space, which we now know is the center of the galaxy.
Right.
That wasn't discovered until, later that year that he made that prediction. He talks about the Big Bang, a similar description of how we would describe the Big Bang. One of the scientific predictions that I really, really enjoyed is, because I'm always been interested in Einstein theory, relativity, and string theory. Davis basically talks about that, you know, he says, you know, a lot of scientists these days think each of the laws, each of the forces are governed, you know, by a separate law. You know, we have a law for electricity, we have a law for heat, we have a law for light.
Right.
But he says, and this, I'm going to read his words, a different law cannot govern any particle or element in the universe, but there's a grand general law. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Like, you know, grand general law that governs all elements.
It sounds heavenly, doesn't it? It sounds like it's something that's supposed to be part of the universe.
Exactly. And that's, you know, Einstein's theory of relativity tried to explain how big things work. Quantum mechanics tried to explain how small things like atoms and subatomic particles work. And we've been searching for this theory of everything. And Davis in 1847 is saying, yes, there is a grand general law. And that, you know, one day we'll probably discover it, whether it's superstring theory or whatever. But that was close to my heart because I thought, wow. I mean, if you had to come out for another term for unified field theory or theory of everything or grand general law, I think grand general law sounds pretty close.
Did he have any theories that just were off the mark?
Yeah. Yes, he did. One is he said there was life on other planets. You mentioned about Venus, but he said there were life on Saturn and Venus and some of the planets that we at this point we don't feel there is any life.
Did he talk about Mars?
Yeah, he felt there was life on Mars too.
All right.
And now there's several ways to look at this. One is maybe he was seeing life that at a certain time in the past was on those
planets.
Was
there? Sure.
Maybe. Other scientists have suggested maybe he's looking at a higher dimension of life.
Well, and also, what was his definition of life? Could have been little organisms.
No, he talked about higher.
Higher, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
That's why when I first read that, I thought, wow, he's way off on that. And then, which is interesting, one of my good friends is Dr. J.J. Hertek.
Sure, we've had him on.
And J.J. is a clairvoyant in his own. Oh, by the way, you know, J.J. actually in 1973 predicted, if I'm not mistaken, that there would be a chamber found between the king's and the queen's chamber.
There you go.
I think in his Keys of Enoch. So, I mean, that's interesting. But J.J. said he really felt that he knew about Davis, too, by the way. He felt that Davis was talking about higher dimensional and higher levels of life. And by the way, Davis's descriptions sometimes go between the two, and sometimes you don't know where he really is. So I'm not trying to justify it. I mean, I would say that prediction he was off, but there's ways of understanding that. Oh, you know, Darwin's theory of Charles Darwin, 1859, right, on the origin of species.
13 years after he was making a lot of his own predictions. All right.
Yeah, in 1850, Davis wrote The Great Harmonia, a five-volume set, and goes, this is 9 years before Darwin published his theory of evolution, goes into the detail of evolution.